What beautiful music this morning. May we bow in prayer together. Thank you, our Lord, for the word of God that stands when all other things may fail around us. Bless us in your name, we pray. Amen. Talking today on Is David's God Your God? David said in Psalms 104, verse 1, O God, how great you are. There are seven basic fools in the Bible. The alcoholic fool, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, who's deceived thereby is not wise. The frantic fool that loses his temper. The materialistic fool, thou fool, this night your soul is required of you. The prophetic fool, O fools and slow of heart to believe what the prophets have said. The pathetic fool who cried out, I have played the part of a fool. The apathetic fools, foolish virgins. But then there is the atheistic fool. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. I used to go to a barber, and about every few sentences he would say, oh my God. Isn't it interesting that if people hit their finger with a hammer, they don't say, oh Trump or oh Biden? They say, oh Jesus or oh God. Three kinds of atheists, those who say that God never lived, those who say that God died, and others who think he might be alive, but they act like he is not. In fact, they had signs that went out in the 1960s, God is dead. After a while, some more came out that said, God is back, and is he ever mad? God is unborn. God is unique. God is unchanging. God is unlimited. God is understanding, and God has an undying love for you. A black man and white man were arguing. The black man said that God was black. The white man said God is white. They went up to the gate and asked the angel. And the angel said, let God come out and speak for himself. And he said, buenos dias, senores. I want to talk about seven things that David said in the book of Psalms that God meant to him. Is David's God your God? Number one, God is my rock under me. He has set my feet on a rock. Many things are on a rock in the Bible. The commandments were written on the rock. The church, upon this rock I will build my church. The construction of the home, the wise man built his house on the rock. The contentment of the heart, it tastes like honey in the rock. And our conversion, he placed my feet upon a rock. You kind of get a feeling that you're sinking inside. How can you sink through a rock? He is giving to us internal, external, and eternal security as we stay in the grace of God. So God is my rock under me. I cannot drop down. He's under me. Amen. Underneath of the everlasting arms. Number two, God is my refuge around me. He said, God is my refuge, a very present help in times of trouble. God has a 911 number. Psalms 91:1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty God. He protects us from danger. He protects us from the devil. He protects us from deception. He protects us from the damnation of hell itself. He's our refuge. He's got his arms around you all the time because he loves you. Yeah. Not only God is my rock under me and my refuge around me, but he said, God is my river within me. Psalms 46:4, there's a river whose stream shall make glad the place of the Most High. The charms of many great cities are there great rivers in London, in Paris, in Vienna, in Cairo, the Nile River, Washington, the Potomac River. You have the Jordan River and on the rivers. But when David spoke about the river, there was no prominent river. They had to get water underground from other places. But he's talking about a river inside of us. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake of the Holy Spirit. It speaks of satisfaction. Solomon was worth 2.2 $22 trillion. And yet when he looked at everything he had, all his vanity and vexation of spirit, he said it's like a bubble that burst. Share with our huge house of 40,000 square feet on the river, having everything that a person would want. She said, I'm trying to learn how to die. I guess if Sonny can die, I can. She said, I'm not satisfied. Maybe I'll come back like an animal. Then I'll be satisfied. We had Elvis Presley's stepbrother come and minister to us. And he said one time they found a note that Elvis had written in the night. I feel so lonesome. The night is so quiet. I have no need for all of this. Help me, dear Lord. Christina Onassis said, happiness is not found in money. And finally, at the end of her life, she took tranquilizers and pills to end her life. We often talk about Billy Graham. We quote him because he's one man that kept his money, his morals, his ministry, and his motive right. A lot of other people did not. Being invited by Grady Wilson to visit with Billy Graham, and I mentioned this before, the one song that George Beverly Shea sang just stirred my heart. Along with Pastor Billy, Ellis Lowe was with us. He pastored in this church years ago. And he looked over at me when Bev Shea was singing that song. Acres of diamonds, mountains of gold, rivers of silver, jewels untold. All these together couldn't buy you and me peace when we're sleeping and a conscience that's clean. A heart that's contented, a satisfied mind. These are the things that treasures can't buy. But if you have Jesus, you have more wealth in your soul than acres of diamonds and mountains of gold. Are you glad that he is your satisfier today? Number four, God is my righteousness that overwhelms me. Psalms 35, 28, my tongue shall speak of your righteousness. It overwhelms me to know that I have been justified. My sins are not on the record. You're not getting justice. You're getting the end of injustice, were the words spoken by Texas District Judge Mark Stolt to James Lee Woodward when he was released from prison after spending 27 years and 4 months locked up for a crime he did not commit. He had been found guilty of rape and murder of his 21-year-old girlfriend. Denied parole because he would not admit it. But through advanced technology, they found out that he could not have done that terrible thing. When he walked out, he was one of 220 people in the United States that had been relieved as not being guilty after spending an average of 12 years in jail. 500 times the word righteousness is found in the Bible. If you can know three deposits, you can know the gospel. Number one, when Adam and Eve sinned, it was deposited into the human bloodstream, the poison of death. When Jesus died on the cross, it was deposited into him, all the sins of mankind. And when you accept Christ, God deposits within you the righteousness of Jesus Christ himself. So when God looks at me, he doesn't look at me at my mistakes, but he looks at me through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are guilty. A man was walking out of a store and a parrot up there looked down and said, you know, you're the most ugliest man I've ever seen. And when the owner found out about that, he brought the bird back and slapped him in the face and said, don't you ever say that again. While the man was walking out, the parrot said, I can't say it, but you know what it is. All of us are sinners. Number five, God is my ruler over me. His kingdom rules all. God is the king of my life. He takes priority. Number one, he is my priority person above everybody else. My priority place is the house of God. My priority payment is my tithes and offering. My priority passion is a passion for souls. Dr. Kurzweil said you'll either spend all of your life for something or waste all of your life on nothing. God is my ruler over me. And by the way, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords above all of the leaders of the world. He's King of Kings. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Number six, God is my Redeemer behind me. God will redeem my soul. Don't carry that load of your mistakes around. It's all in the past. All of your mistakes have been covered by the blood of Christ. Wonderful to know that. Remember the lady that shipped her dog in a box when she was taking a trip? And when they opened the box, the dog was dead. So they put a live one in there. And finally, when they opened the box and the lady looked in, she almost passed out. She saw that live dog. She said, when I put him in there, he was dead. God has placed all of your sins in the grave. Then I like this. Number seven, God is my rest ahead of me. Rest in the Lord and do not fret. The future is as bright as the sun. Why are we trusting God? Because of his providence. I like the sign at Providence Hospital that says, Providence is awake before the sun comes up. Do you know that Roger Williams was an evangelical preacher? He was thrown out of the state of Massachusetts because of his gospel that he preached. But you know, he went into a little territory and he began a little city. He believed that God led him there, so he named the city Providence, Rhode Island. Do you know that out of that name, there are now 51 hospitals, 1,000 clinics that are connected with the word Providence. The future is bright for us. We have rest in God. Everybody wants to have rest. Listen to what somebody wrote. I dream of a faraway places, and often I take myself yon. Like the time I longed to see Hawaii, a few brochures and I was gone. I hope I do not appear flighty, but the urge to be elsewhere is mighty. Get away from the nonsense, the junk mail, the loud television, the leftover food. Get away from the chores that need tending. Get away from the facts that need sending. So it's off to a faraway region. Like a bird, I'm footloose and free. Still, the hidden problems are legion. I can't get away from me. We rest in God. And let me tell you this. I not only have a rest now, but I am going to have a rest forever in eternity. What a day that's going to be! I wrote a book entitled Heaven, Fantasy, or Reality. I dedicated it to my wife. And one of the things I wrote were these words. When the last streak of light is seen in the west and earth has donned the shroud of everlasting night, when we climb to the top of Jacob's ladder and look back on the sorrow that shall never more be, when we escape the frail body for one immortal and perfect and awaken his image, we shall find rest from the toils and the shade of the tree of life. Discouragement and depression will be folded up and laid away on the shelves of mortal history. Do you know why? We're going to a city where there are no marriages or mourning, sins or sorrows, graves or griefs, where Christ is king, angels are guards, saints are citizens, walls are salvation, streets are gold, air is celestial, life is everlasting, where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and all the apostles of God will be there, and we're going to be like Jesus. Give the Lord a hand of praise. It's a great hand that's coming. Marge Connor was a sister of Dave Edmonds. Passed away a few years ago. She was our secretary for some time. She wrote these words. Now darkly through a glass we see, but one day face to face. I know in part, but I'll know all things when I have run my race. Well, I want to tell you something. I ran across two verses the other day in the book of Revelation, just two verses apart. One of them says, When the Christian dies, they shall rest from their labors. The other verse said, when the lost go into eternity, they shall neither rest day or night forever. Think about that. Again, Billy Graham says, what do we have today? Messages about prosperity and messages about positive living and messages about how good we are. No wonder people flock to hear people like that to tell them how good they are. And then he says, what happened to sin? What happened to judgment? What happened to the cross? What happened to heaven? And then he sternly said, what happened to hell? Don't hear much about that these days, do we? If a man is not saved, where is he going? Glenn said the other day, two things happen when people die. Either God takes them up or the devil takes them out. Think of it. What a terrible thing to think that a man, woman, boy, or girl could spend time without God, without hope, without light, without God in their life forever and ever and forevermore. World without end. Lost. The judgments of hell. I ask you this question. Where are you going? One man said, I do not believe in hell. I don't believe in judgment. He was going through a surgery. They didn't know if he'd get through the surgery. When he came out of the surgery, he cried out, why is it so dark in here? Turn on the lights! And the nurse said, we drew the blinds because there's a fire right next door here. We were afraid you would think that the surgery was not successful. What about you today? Over here, all of you. Are you saved? How about here? Are you sure you're right with God? Over here. What about you? Where will you spend eternity? And what about the multitudes out there? I'm talking to somebody here. I feel it in my spirit, in my heart. Talking to somebody today who have not taken that time to bow their heart and repent of their sin. I ask you to do that today. It's so simple. Just tell God you're sorry for your sins. Let him know that you want him to save you. Repent. Turn your life over to God. He'll give you peace. He'll give you life. He'll give you hope. Pray this prayer with me. Say, oh God, I'm sorry for my sins. Oh God, I thank you that you sent Jesus to die for me. I receive you, Jesus, as my only Savior, my only Lord. Come into my heart. Save my soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. God bless your family. God bless this congregation. God bless the United States of America. Amen. And amen. Nobody leave the auditorium. Everyone standing, please.